grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour of 5, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, taking you home again in 70-degree weather, 40 degrees higher than normal. Tell me there's not climate change and global warming, as the weather is cuckoo-lamunga today, although it's expected to slide back to what is quite normal this time of year in February. There are three damaging reports back-to-back, belly-to-belly, that have come out simultaneously and indicate that we in the tri-state area are forced to use a third-world transit system. Federal report just released today says that New Jersey transit sucks. Yes, they actually use the term sucks. It's that bad. Then the Long Island Railroad through the MTA, the money-taking agency, a report was given by the board yesterday that said they had the worst on-time performance ever for the month of January, and it's expected to worsen. And you saw the mishigasha on the subways as the hipsters and the millennials that Mark Levin was praising. I'll be talking about that at the end of the show. Hipsters and millennials. It must be the flu that's really causing him to be mashug. Anyway, the subways, again, were impaired because of signal problems. If you went out to Astoria, right in the shadow of the Triborough Bridge, no, not the RFK Bridge, the Triborough Bridge, you saw the hipsters and the millennials strewn around as if they were homeless people waiting for MTA buses to come pick them up yesterday during the morning rush hour, and they were waiting a month of Sundays. So that's the main headlines of what's happening locally. But nationally, all eyes are on Tallahassee. The young adults who boarded the Greyhound yesterday, pounded the hound, went up to their state legislature and tried to lobby for gun control. The legislators said, we're not discussing gun control. We're discussing how pornography is a threat, a health threat to the residents of Florida. But they stood a second day, and some of them are being accused of being crisis actors, those who had actually been in the high school when the nutjob crews came in with a AR-15 and started shooting randomly, 17 people in total who ended up expiring. On the line to discuss that is Lionel, who has hosted here so often at WABC and has substituted most recently for Bernard McGuirk and for Sid Rosenberg, but hosts his own Lionel Nation show on YouTube. Thanks for joining us again, my brother, in solidarity.
It is my pleasure to be with you. Let me apologize for my voice. I lost it the other day sitting in for said Bernie and Sid. And I went to, of course, the greatest otolaryngologist in the country who immediately blasted me. And what you're hearing right now is a sheer miracle. So thank you, sir.
Oh, absolutely. It's the flu, the pandemic that has ripped through the studios of WABC. So I see, Lionel, you did not use my treatment in which I take raw rubbing alcohol on my pinkies, rub it into my nostrils, and create a force field against bacteria, against flus and viruses.
No, but instead what I did was I took some Bertolli olive oil and rubbed it on. Anyway, it's an old story.
Of course.
Curtis, let's get down to this nonsense about crisis actors, shall we?
Yeah, now, two of the kids who are in Parkdale and have traveled with their colleagues to lobby the legislators in Tallahassee have been picked out as being crisis actors. And,
right.
I mean, they were there. I mean, they have a right to speak. They're not actors.
They are absolutely not crisis actors. There are two people, David Hogg, H-O-G-G, and Emma Gonzalez, as we say. Emma Gonzalez is the Curtis Sliwa of Broward County, of Florida. This is a young lady who, and I'm not saying, because there's two things. One, they'll say crisis actors. Then they'll say false flag. It didn't happen. It's crazy. It's crazy. That kind of talk is insane. However, here is this young lady, Curtis Lewa. Oh, and is she perfect or what? Shaved head? Gonzalez? I thought maybe she'd be a dreamer or a DACA, CACA, whatever. No, she's just a regular person. And she starts, get this, a Twitter channel in February of 2018. That would be now. She has over 200,000 followers, and she's blue-checked. She is off and running. And she is a professional. She is up there. She reminds me of that character from Billions. And when you look at this young lady, and let me be not mistaken, there are kids who are traumatized beyond explication, frozen for forever, effectively. This is horrible. But she has been able to rise above that. And she, if you look at her Twitter page, there she is, buzz cutting her hair, smiling and laughing with all her contingents of fellow whatever it is, absolutely soaking this up. And how any parent, you know, normally, Curtis, you know, parents used to say, hey, to the media, get away from my child, let my child alone. How dare you? Not now. Because now with social media and this narcissistic, this myth, this solipsistic world that we live in of me, self-aggrandizing, Instagram, look at me. She is just a professional spokesperson. Now, as far as Mr. Hall goes, they said, you know, his father was in the FBI. So what? But Curtis, let me ask you this. GoFundMe, they've raised over $1 million. Where's this money going? Who gets the money? Where's this going? I swear to God, with all due respect, my dear brother, in solidarity, this has you written all over it.
Now,
if she didn't have a beret, I mean, she has created a cottage industry of Emma Gonzalez.
Now, you are correct on that, Lionel, but I associated her with that Joan of Arc look, you know, the buzz cut. But I noticed where she dominated coverage initially, I didn't see anything from her yesterday nor today. This is after she indicated that she's coming after the NRA because she wants them dissolved. Now, do you think maybe she got iced out because the group said that's not what we're saying?
Well, let me see. One of the things that she might have done is that somebody may have told her a while back to stop talking, to do something to keep your mouth shut, because what you're actually doing is harming the issue. Now, look, I'm not going to talk about how anybody dares to discuss or to deal with trauma. Let me be very, very clear with this. But Curtis, the issue is not about bump stocks. By the way, that was a beautiful move on Trump's part. Bump stocks? That's like having a legislation on bayonet clips. That was a giveaway. It's not about, but the liberal, and I'm going to use these terms which I normally loathe, but for shorthand purposes, the liberal, progressive left, the professional left, they have in their arsenal, in their quiver, one desire among many, but one in particular, to destroy, abrogate, and liquidate the Second Amendment and to confiscate weapons. And no matter how they do it, they will do it. And that's what this is about. There is a problem. Curtis, why is it that whenever there's a shooting in a school, I know without even looking, it's going to be a white, male, either current student or former ex-student, and he will invariably be coming off of some SSRI, some psych med, psychiatric medication, antidepressant, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. He's going to be whacked out of his mind, and there's one answer, one, that will take care of this, but nobody wants to do it, because if you did it, you wouldn't have these shootings anymore, and that is to have a positioned strategically, a ex-military or current military, privately funded, paid for, whatever it is, who does not mingle like Officer Joe, whatever his name was, on Pix 11 years ago, not the friendly ha-ha-ha, not the Norman Rockwell cop, not Bumper Morgan, not the beat cop, but a scary, buzz-cut, mirrored glasses, scary RoboCop dude who is positioned, who is there to either dissuade somebody like this feckless, impious, and coward who took an Uber to wipe these poor, innocent, beautiful children out. It might cause this person to think again, or it would allow for immediate response. But whenever you bring this up, and I believe it was a mayor of, New Brunswick or something, and thank God, it is seen clearly. Whenever you bring this up, Curtis, they say, oh, no, you can't do that. Why? Because it would create the image of a police state. The poor kids would be traumatized. My ass. I'll tell you what traumatizes kids is seeing their fellow students slaughtered by some drug-crazed, drug-addled freak. Let me also tell you something. There's something about this country that's weird. You know that if you look at deaths per 100,000, based upon a 2016 study, U.S. was about 3.8 or 4 violent gun deaths per 100,000. El Salvador, 40. But the reason the difference between them is that in those countries, El Salvador and Honduras and Virgin Islands and Jamaica, they kill over drug turf, territory, cop shootouts. These kids shoot because they're bullied, or they have a bad day, or they're weaning off of some drug or something. It doesn't even make any sense. And when you look at this ridiculous, fakakta nonsense statistic that's being bandied about that says there were 18, quote, violent gun deaths at schools, they're throwing into the mix suicide, accidental shooting. Granted, it's wrong. But you see, Curtis, there was a drumbeat. There was a drumbeat from the Nancy Pelosi's and the Mike Bloomberg's and the Mayor de Blasio's who wants...
Now, I just asked my brother in solidarity a simple question about crisis actors. And he's given me, he's continuing to answer the call. About a 7-minute answer, right, on crisis actors. You know, I got to remind Lionel that this is not NPR where we go on and on and on. But then again, he's still giving the answer. He's giving the answer right now. Simple question. Do you think these kids going to Tallahassee, two of them were crisis actors?
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I'm that in the alley. I'm your doctor when you need, want some coke, have some weed. You know me, I'm your friend, your main boy, thick and thin. I'm your pusher man.
That's part of the musical score by Curtis Mayfield, my namesake. For Superfly, TNT, the black exploitation movie in the 70s. But it could well apply to two different groups on Staten Island. The Albanian bad boys who were recently arrested because they were importing fentanyl in from Red China, because that's where it's made, Red China. They're no friends of ours. President who, what's on second? I don't know who's on third. Our president said he was going to deal with him bluntly about their manufacture and distribution to our country of fentanyl, but nothing happened in his last trip to Beijing. But the Albanian bad boys, they got locked up, and they're not making bail, and they're going through federal court, and they're going to do some serious time as they should. But also busted at the same time was a Staten Island firefighter who had peddled fentanyl out of his firehouse in the Lower East Side. That's right, his name was Marino. You remember, we talked about him. He showed up in court before a federal magistrate. He was disheveled at the time when he was leaving court. He walks right into a telephone pole and knocks himself out, right? The guy is totally ubat-stitched. But he's a dope dealer. He wasn't importing the fentanyl on the dark web from Red China for his own personal use. I understand. Then he's a dope fiend with a serious problem. You may want to dry him out. You may want to give him a second chance. But guess what? He's been sent to rehab in the Poconos at taxpayers' expense with the idea that if he dries out, he's going to be reassigned to a firehouse as a dope dealer selling the killer fentanyl in the streets. Could I volunteer? Can I volunteer to the UFA, the union that represents the firefighters? I'd like to pay him a visit up to one of those rehab centers in the Poconos and get the permission of the federal magistrate to give him an attitude and readjustment. Remember the way Tony Soprano and Paulie Walnuts and the boys did Chrissy in the Poconos?
We are here to talk about you killing yourself with drugs, not my personality.
That's right.
I'm going to kill myself? The way you... You're gonna have a heart attack by the time you're 50.
Oh, no. Sit down.
You're talking to the boss here.
Good. Maybe someone will smack some sense into him.
Great. My own mother. You, you whore.
Yeah, give me a shot. Come on, Federal Magistrate Judge Stephen Gold, for going soft on the pusher man, Anthony Marino, just because he's a firefighter. You were issuing platitudes about him, even though he brought the fentanyl in to sell it in the streets. It wasn't for personal use. Why is it there's a double standard? The Albanian bad boys, they go straight to lockup, no bail, remanded to jail, and they're going to be doing serious time for selling fentanyl in the streets of Staten Island. But this mutt, this skell, this firefighter who continues to be on the payroll, that's right, we're paying for his rehab, is going to be back at a firehouse soon. And I guarantee you, when all of a sudden he has a relapse, he's going to be hitting the dark web again in Red China and bringing in that fentanyl, and he's going to be selling it in the streets. What do you think? I'm a sucker, Judge?
Returns.
This trial continues to go on. Federal court against Joe Pococo, who knows where all of Andrew Cuomo, the governor's bones, are buried. And on the line to give us a update is the Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief of New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News. Thanks for jumping on board again, Ken.
Good to be back.
Okay, so I know we're at the point in the trial where we're talking about Joe Pococo's wife, who has been called a low-show job person. Can you first explain that as compared to what we heard during the Dean the Greek Skelos trial about his deadbeat son, Adam, who was accused of having a no-show job? What is a low-show job?
Well, no-show means you're getting paid and you're not showing up at all. Low-show, which is what they're accusing Lisa Prococo, Joe Prococo's wife, of being, means she did do things, but not enough to warrant the salary she was getting. She was being paid $7,500 a month. I think they said some $300,000 from a power company, and did very little for the money. And the work she did do was shoddy, according to a lot of the testimony.
Now, Ken, that would be a form of sort of backdoor money laundering. Launder it through the wife to basically pay the fee that was being demanded by Pococo to do them favors, correct?
Absolutely. They're saying that they hired Lisa Prococo to curry favor with Joe Prococo, you know, one of the closest, if not the closest, aide to the governor, to help them get their power plant project in Orange County through.
Now, I'm assuming that Joe Prococo, the main target of this federal investigation, along with three other cohorts, but he's really the main focus, he will not be getting on the witness stand to give testimony in his defense.
No, so far he's not on the witness list. I don't think it's a surprise they weren't going to put him on, but it does not look like he will testify.
And what exactly is he being charged with in reference to this power company that had hired his wife, Lisa, in what is called a low-show job?
Basically, it's bribery that they gave her the job to curry favor with him. And that, like you said, almost like a money laundering, in the sense that they gave him $300,000 in bribes through her salary for a low-show job in exchange for political favors.
Ken, when do we expect this trial to be over?
They say another week or two, probably. There's still more testimony to go. You might see some former Cuomo aides testify on the list of note is Howard Glazier, who was Cuomo's longtime aide. He was the director of state operations. They go way back. You know, it was Glazier who worked for Mario Cuomo as well. That'll be interesting if he testifies, because he was there for a lot of this, and his name has already come up a number of times during the testimony.
Do appreciate that. That's the update on, I call it the Cuomo trial, even though it is his wartime consigliere, Joe Prococo, like a brother to him, who knows where all of Cuomo's bones are buried and who buried them.
Sliwa. Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
Oh, no, I'm not waiting for you, Mumford and Sons. Oh, they've been lionized by the millennials and hipsters as the group that best epitomizes their generation. And boy, there is quite a generational gap as we continue here in the drive home at 5. But the flu has detrimental effects. It causes you to lose your mind. And there's no doubt that Mark Levin, who follows us, has completely lost his mind because all of a sudden he's praising the millennials and the hipsters.
What do we think we're going to produce? This is why I don't attack millennials. I think millennials are the victims of my generation and generations before that advanced this progressive agenda. And it's very, very important for parents to undo this.
Let me tell you something. Stop smiling there, Justin B. Love you, invader from Alabama. Go back to Birmingham. I want my city back. And you, Brian Mongalooch, with your skinny jeans, your canvas Converse sneakers, and your man bun. Let me tell you something. Mark Levin was calling you all a bunch of knee-jerk liberals.
Look what we're doing. So, of course, most of these kids, or many of them anyway, are knee-jerk liberals who do not understand American history, who do not appreciate American traditions. And that's not because they were born that way. It's because they were taught that way.
See, he had to almost choke on his own words when he was saying that. I don't know what happened. You see what happens. You get hit with the flu like Mark Levin has been hit with. High fever, 104, you're schwitzing. Then all of a sudden you're cold. You have the cold sweats. He's losing his mind. He's totally losing his mind. And then he attacks me for trashing millennials and hipsters.
But I'm not going to sit here like so many of these other guys and gals and just start trashing all these people. And how dare people my age start trashing them? You know, you can criticize a particular thing or so, but to trash an entire generation? No, I don't think so.
Oh, and I'm going to continue to do that, Mark Levin. Let me tell you something. They are invaders. They've come into my city of New York. They've taken over northern Brooklyn. They've taken over northern Queens. They've taken over the North Shore, Staten Island, although they're trying to do it. They've taken over parts of Manhattan, especially as you go up into Washington Heights and Inwood. They're now just beginning to encroach on the South Bronx, down near St. Mary's Park. That's right, where they all came out, 18,000 strong. Remember to welcome their hero, Bernie the Altacaca Sanders? Oh, no, Mark Levin. I will forgive you because clearly you are suffering the effects of flu. High fever, chills, schwitzing, the whole nine yards. That's why you won't be on tonight. No, the reason you won't be on tonight is you praise these millennials, these hipsters, selfish, indulgent as they are. Mark, let me warn you from your bunker. When all of a sudden the gluten-free signs go up in the various grocery stores by you and a Thai restaurant goes up, that means they're coming for you, Mark. They're going to invade your neighborhood. And pretty soon you're going to be on the outside looking in. Remember, Curtis Sliwa warned you about the hipster millennial horde.